All right, we're in Genesis chapter 2. This is a portion of Scripture that has serious implications for the culture we live in, but not only the culture we live in, but the church as we seek to please God in these areas. This is a fascinating part of the Scriptures. We'll be in Genesis chapter 2. Verses 4 through 25. I'm not sure exactly how far we'll get in this passage tonight. It's a little bit lengthy. So, just a couple things preliminarily. Genesis is broken up into what we call toledot sections. A toledot is a Hebrew word for generation. And the sections begin right here in verse 4. The first section goes from chapter 2, verse 4, all the way to the end of chapter 4. We're just covering part of a toledot section. But it's an interesting division that Moses, under the guidance of the Lord, implemented when he was writing this material. So that's one interesting thing. And so verse 4, when it says this is the account of the heavens, so account, that's the English word we have that signals this is a new section. And chapter 2 specifically is here to show us the magnitude of God's blessing in the beginning. So much of our time is focused on chapter 3, which tells us about the fall of man. Man did fall. But to know how far man has fallen, we have to spend some time in chapter 2 to see what God had done to bless man. So this is exciting material. I've been kind of buried in this for at least half the day, and it's fascinating and exciting, and it has kind of left me with a yearning for the restoration of all things, which will take place on the other side of his coming. That's when we'll see it in full view, in full form. And the loveliness of it as the Lord restores all things. Right now, we know in part. We see through a glass darkly. We get a taste of this through salvation in Jesus. But we will not see the fulfillment. We will not see the consummation of this until glory. And that'll be a wonderful day. But let's look to see what was gained, or how God blessed mankind. So we'll begin with verse 4. I think what we'll do is take it in sections. We'll go through verses 5 through 7, and we'll cover the first point, and that one point may sound like a whole sermon, but we'll stop when we need to stop. All right, the clock has been set as of a couple Sundays ago when we had our daylight savings time and we had to spring forward. It's right now, and not just because it's right twice a day, it's on the money. So we'll take verses 4 through 7, and then, Lord willing, we'll go right on with verses 8 through 17, and then we will look at verses 18 through 25. So how about we do this? Let me give you the three points. I'll just read them right off my piece of paper here. which I don't know if this is a good thing or not. I'm not really used to using notes or writing things out in full form, but we have it here. So point one, and this corresponds to verses 5-7. Humans have the capacity to love and serve the Creator. Verses 5-7. So when God created man and woman, He created them. Now in these verses, man, He created them with the capacity to love and serve the Lord God. Verses 5-7. Number two, point number two. Humans, or man, whatever you want to use there, should obey God's commands in order for life to work right. Verses 8-17. Humans should obey God's commands in order for life to work right. And then thirdly, verses 18-25. Man has the provision of complementary help in the worship of God and the keeping of His command. And so tonight, I just want to prepare you for what's ahead. We are going to be looking at blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessed blessing in the material before us. There is everything to be happy and excited about, and to give God all kinds of glory for what He is doing. And God is, make no mistake about it, He is the one doing what He's doing. So the first four verses in chapter 2, we're not considering those tonight, but those have to do with the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest of God. That the application to you and me is that God has set aside one day a week to call us back to Himself to hear from heaven. I can't imagine life without one day a week set aside for God to speak. We would drown in our cares and in our confusion apart from that one day where we're called back to God. We need that on a regular basis. So verses 4-7. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Now, no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So let's start off with a contrast. In chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the whole account of creation begins. And in those verses, we are introduced to God as Elohim. He's Elohim God. That means we are introduced to a sovereign and powerful God. And then all of that is undergirded by what takes place next, that God speaks His word and it comes into being. God says, be light, light is. God does all this work of creation. It's the power of our sovereign God to be able to speak, and that happens. And he creates by speaking out of nothing. The Latin is ex nihilo. The scholars said, you know, the Lord creates, and he creates out of nothing. Man makes things, but only God creates. And so that's important for us to get here. And it's a huge theme. It's overarching, and it's really foundational to our Christian life. And that is that God is the creator. That we're not doing guesswork about how these things that we see, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the beautiful northern lights that we were supposed to see the other night for the last time in a while. And I looked north at about 12:30, they said best viewing 1 to 2 a.m. It was Saturday night, and Saturday nights I want to get in bed and get a good night's sleep, but I stayed up and I walked outside and I looked north. I was looking down toward your way, Art, and there's lights there right where Betts Road comes out on 27, and you just can't have light and see anything. And there were trees, so I just walked back inside, went to bed. But God has created all this, and he did it in 6 days, and he did it by his word. The word for day in the scriptures is day. It's a 24-hour day. I have no problem believing that. There are people that think that it took God an age to create so much and then another age. I just always find it better to just take the word as it is. Yom. Yom means day. 6 days. God created. I mean, if he's speaking, which he is, yeah, he could do it. God could do what God does. But he's Elohim there. He's Lord God here. So this is the point under man being created with a capacity to love and serve the Creator. Get this. He's introduced to us here as Yahweh. So Yahweh gives us, you know, names. The names of God testify to his character and his nature. So Elohim, his sovereignty and his power. And that's what we see in creation. Here, it's Yahweh. And Yahweh tells us that God is... This is so, just makes me happy. God is personal and God is covenantal. He wants a relationship with his people. It's one thing for him to create and speak and be Elohim. It's another thing for us to see him, especially when we see man developing in that relationship with God as being revealed to us as the Lord, Yahweh. Personal. He's a very personal God. And he's covenantal. He doesn't forget his people. He loves his people. So, here we have that. In verse 4, right there it is. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God... So it even shows up in our English translation. The Lord God, Yahweh, made earth and heaven. Then we go on to find out there's no shrub of the field was yet in the earth. No plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. Now, here's another thing that's going to pop up. And in Genesis, it's like spring. Lots of stuff pops up that will come will come to fruition in Revelation. So you see themes that are begun. It's the first book of the Bible, and you'll see themes. And those themes will carry us through the Bible and all the way to Revelation, where we'll see them in living color and consummated form. And it's very powerful. So we have two things here that really strike a note in our minds of a couple of judgments to come. Rain, right there it is. Verse 5, God had not sent rain upon the earth. And then the other one that reminds us of a judgment that's going to come later, and there was no man to what? To cultivate the ground or to till the ground. And we know that once man fell, that God said, there's going to be a lot of weeds. There's going to be a lot of work. By the sweat of your brow, you will till the ground. So there's a heads up here. It's going to come up here in a little bit. But there was a mist. It used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Then, and here it is again, the Lord God. So under that first point, humans have the capacity to love and serve the Creator. You know, it might be even better in that point to say to love and serve Yahweh or the Lord God. But under that as a sub-point, I've got a new designation for God, one that we hadn't seen until verse 4. Up to this time, it was Elohim. And then the second sub-point is found in verse 7a, the first part of that verse. And this verse is powerful. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground. So let's just break this down a little bit so we get the gist of what's being said. The word formed, I believe I've got it written here that the word for formed is yasar. Yasar. And that word, or the participial use of that word, is the word for potter in Jeremiah 18, verse 24. So here we have God forming man as a potter would form a vase or something, a bowl. But God forms man out of the dust of the ground. And what this means is, and this is the second sub-point under number one, that humans have the capacity to love and serve the Creator. Man is seen here as a work of art, as someone whom God has designed. God's the potter, and man created from the dust of the ground. So there is a design. There's no accidents with God. And he is doing this out of his love or affinity for relationship and covenant. That's the picture. Lord God, not Elohim, Lord God formed man. Designed man. He's putting tender loving care into the formation of man, and he formed him of the dust of the ground. So the third sub point under humans have the capacity to love and serve the Creator is that we see man as earthy. Man is earthy. Man is made from the dust of the ground, and thus earthy man, if you like rhymes, I like rhymes. Man is bound to the ground. That's the way it is. We're bound. We're formed from the dust of the ground, and we go back to the dust of the ground. References to this: Job 4:19, Job 10:9, Isaiah 29:16, Genesis 3:19. Since Genesis 3:19 is just right across the page, let's read that one. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. This is a theme. And it always reminds me, yep, you've heard the story. My systematic theology professor would always greet that room full of students as frail creatures of dust. No truer words have ever been spoken. So man is earthy, bound to the ground. Dust you are, as the body of dust. And he breathed in the breath of life. And so this word is always, this breath of life is always used for life imparted to man. And the use of this term for animals is unheard of. And then that leads us right to the fourth subpoint, and that is the breath. We want to get into that word. The breath imparted to man does far more than animate the man. Okay, so this is important. Right here in your Bible, it says, "The Lord God formed man of dust from the ground," and he did something else. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So this fourth subpoint, the breath imparted to man does far more than animate the man. Number one, and we want to track down these references. Let's see if I can find it here. Yeah. Job 32, verse 8. So you're on the edge of your seat wondering, what does this breath of life, what does it do for man if it's not simply to animate the man? First thing is, the breath of God gives spiritual understanding. The first point, the breath of God grants spiritual understanding. And this is found in Job 32, verse 8. "But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding." But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. And then over in Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs 20 and verse 27, the breath of God grants a functioning conscience. Proverbs 20:27. "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being." And then we have that wonderful verse that the Lord has set eternity in our hearts. I believe that comes by the breath of the Lord. So it is the inbreathing of the Lord God that brings the capacity to know and serve God as humans made in His image. Now look at Genesis 1 and verse 27. For the idea that we are made in God's image, I want to prove to you from the scriptures tonight that both male and female are created in God's image. And this is something only true of human beings. God created, this is Genesis 1, verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The physical body and the divine breath produces a living soul. The physical body and the divine breath produces a living soul. A man who has the capacity to serve and to love God. So, point number one, well taken, and we're going to move on with, we think we can finish point number two, and we'll save point three for the next time. Point two is found in verses 8 through 17. Verses 8 through 17, we'll read those and continue. The Lord God, there we have that designation again. Folks, this isn't accidental. This is on purpose. The Lord God. So we see, yes, His power, we know His sovereignty is seen over all creation, but here the emphasis is on God wanting to relate, God wanting to bless man whom He has created. And so this is just beautiful. This is beautiful. What we're about to read, what God did for man, look at this. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden. And there He placed the man whom He had formed. You just see the heart of God in forming, in taking great care, and then placing him in this beautiful garden. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. Well, thank you, Lord. He's killed two birds with one stone, so to speak. Beautiful trees and food. Right there. I mean, you just see the heart of God for man. Right here. The tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the two trees there He's designated. Verses 10 through 14 talks about rivers. I always wonder, why is this there? Why does He put all of this there? Let's read it, then we'll talk about it a little bit. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. The bdellium, and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. So, water is associated with life. We even had a testimony tonight. Somebody ran out of water last weekend. And how that brings a little bit of, hey, we got to have water. Well, there's water all over the place here. I look at verses 10 through 14 and I just say to myself, the garden was nourished by these rivers that flowed, because it does say there was a river, right there in verse 10, a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, But then it divided and it became four other rivers, okay? So you've got one river becoming more rivers. And so there's lots of nourishment going on. And in my little way of thinking, I think, okay, everything is flowing. Everything is flowing. Everything is fresh. Everything is nourished. And there's gold, and there's bdellium, and there's all these riches. So the garden is riches and lushness and water, everything. Then the Lord God, there it is again, the Lord God, took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." In these verses, we see the abundant provision of God and man's responsibility. And these two things, the provision of God and man's responsibility, are going to collide. We see a lush garden in verse 8, the first part of verse 8. We see the Lord God place the man in the garden in the second part of verse 8. The word place is a word in the Hebrew that is directly related to the word rest. Place slash rest. He placed man in the garden. It was a place of rest. We are reminded that the one who formed man is the one who placed man in the garden. Man's got everything going for him. We see beautiful trees growing in the garden. Verse 9, the first part. God caused the trees to grow. The trees were pleasing to the sight. The trees were good for food. The tree of life produced life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil produced that experience. What experience? Good and evil. If you eat of the tree of life, you experience life. You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God forbade them to eat, and you're going to experience a lot more than you bargained for. We see rivers flowing. Verses 10 through 14, we see the Lord God take man and place him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. So tonight we are going to stop right there because it is time. It's time to stop. We got about halfway through, I think. But that's